Good morning. Today is Monday. Boy, the 6th of February. Joining us this morning is, wait a sec. Assistant Police Chief Brian Stevens from Eureka Police Department.
Morning, Brian.
I knew I'd get the right, if I just kind of took my time, walked really slowly, and looked for verbal cues that I'm going in the right direction. Thank you, sir. Oh, boy. Are you ready for Why Do We Say It?
Yes, sir.
You are? Really? All right. Well, I've got two that are really probably I shouldn't use. Small fry. Why do we use the reference small fry for kids?
My first thought, it has something to do with fish because fries are some type of fish. But I don't know. You got me, Brian.
All right. Yeah. Catch and release, baby. Catch and release. Our use of small fry as a label for children memorializes, in a fashion, speech patterns of long ago. For in eras when most people lived close to the land, animals, birds, and fish were of vital importance. Dependent upon them, humans devised separate names for stages of life cycles. A few words from this specialized vocabulary have survived. As a result, first-time visitors to New England see numerous T-shirts proclaiming, "I caught," and it's S-C-R-O-D, scrod, in Boston. That notice seems vaguely suggestive of venereal disease. I probably ought to pre-read this a little bit, but nah, let's plow through. Until an outsider learns that a young codfish is a scrod. Fishermen long referred to immature fish of all kinds as fry. See, you weren't that far off. Which meant that small fry were tiny swimmers indeed. With its background lost in obscurity, the phrase small fry is most often applied to small children or unimportant events.
That's about as close as I've come.
Far better than the venereal disease reference.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that's why they sell a lot of those I caught crabs at blank.
Yeah.
You know, same.
It's all about marketing, right?
Yeah. I'd like to think there was a little bit more creativity involved in that, but sometimes that's about as deep as you can go with some of this stuff. Oh, boy. Weather causing you guys any challenges?
Yeah, it does. On a Saturday night, when that windstorm hit, we had a lot of alarms and a lot of issues like that, so it takes a lot of patrol time to deal with those.
Just buzzing around. The alarms, are they categorized, or do you perceive, when they come into dispatch, are they shown as being different? Or is it just it's another call coming into the switchboard?
No, the alarms are all categorized differently. So there's burglary alarm, silent, burglary alarms, regular. There's robbery, silent, and or like hold-up alarms, could be ATM alarms. So each has...
Oh, ATMs have alarms?
They do. So each has their specific way they come in from the alarm company to us, so we know what kind they are.
I suppose sometime I would try one. I've never had inclination. I figured if I'm in a situation like that and need cash, I probably don't need cash. Yeah, that's... So dispatch trains to those, or is there a visual cue that these things come in?
It's a phone call they get from the alarm company, and then based on the information they're provided by the alarm company, we have codes built in our system that they'll categorize the call to.
So it's like a pass-through almost,
yep,
rather than a direct call.
And that's why we ask people to make sure that their alarms are hooked up to the alarm company, because some like to have them come to them first, and then they'll check their cameras, and then it has to go to the alarm company or then back to us. And by now, we've created this lag time that generally we don't get, so it hurts our ability to try to get there as quickly as we can to try to apprehend someone. But if it comes to the alarm company first, then we're getting the call within a minute and a half of the time the alarm was activated.
And what about those doorbell alarm things, the rings?
The rings? Yeah, they're not generally hooked up to local security companies, so we won't get notified of those.
Okay.
We do get calls from citizens who say they'll see somebody in their backyard or somebody was just on my porch, I don't know where he went, and they'll ask for like patrol checks for us to go and check the property for them.
Are those high priorities for you guys?
In the yard, yes. Somebody on the porch, yeah. Fall somewhere in the middle, yeah.
Yeah, because it could be half a mile away by then.
Yeah, unless they have, like, no, he just stole my package off my porch, then we have a different crime than just trespassing on the porch, so.
Yeah. Is there still a lot of that going on?
Package theft, yes.
Yeah.
Around the holidays, obviously, people have things delivered. That's when we see the most increase, because the thieves are out actually following the UPS and FedEx trucks around, waiting for them to drop packages off.
How obvious could it be?
Right.
Yeah, there goes the big truck driving slow. It's pretty straightforward. Do you guys recommend universally to have it, if you're not at the house, you know, somebody's there all the time kind of thing, to have it dropped to a business location?
That would be the best. I mean, that is obviously, if you have an address or a location, there are some parcel shipment places where you can have parcels shipped and they'll hold them for you and come pick them up.
Oh, yeah, like the UPS store and places like, you know, McKinleyville office, those types of situations.
Yeah, so I recommend those types of things unless you have a good neighbor that you trust to have the package delivered to their house. That always works, but...
And they don't like Omaha steaks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah. Harry and David, I thought it was a typo for me.
Yeah. So.
I would. Well, that could just spin out of control, couldn't it?
Yeah, they bite you over for dinner, and there's your steak.
Yeah. Want to thank you for providing dinner this evening. Good neighbors.
Good neighbors. Yeah. Right?
Do you find that the porch pirate concept, does that happen in quiet neighborhoods more than active neighborhoods?
You know what? It happens so quick, it really doesn't matter. It's all about the opportunity. So it doesn't matter the neighborhood. It just matters the opportunity. So it's where packages are being delivered and left in a location that can be seen from the roadway. That's another thing. So if they're not following the truck, actively following the truck, watching where they put the package, then it's, you know, the package is sitting right on the front porch of a house and no one's there to receive it.
Yeah, I would think that would be almost like putting a beacon on the top of the package to get those folks. Cyclical in that? Or are there just folks that's what they do?
There are just thieves. That's what they do. Yeah. And like I said, we see the increase around the holidays, but it's something we get calls on all year long.
Yeah. It's another form of frustration, I guess, is the simplest way to think of it. Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. Brian, this time of the year, typically we have a lot of the wet and things of that nature. How much does weather impact the troops day-to-day? I figure you're inside more often than out. But on just a day-in, day-out basis, when it gets warm, do you guys see a shift? When it's windy, do you see a shift? When it's cold, do you see changes?
I think each weather pattern brings different challenges. So the wet, obviously, we see the higher level of traffic collisions, catches people off guard, people being inattentive, still driving too fast for the conditions. So, you know, Saturday night we had a pretty good accident. I think it's 7th and J right as soon as it started raining. And
no, it's got to be a cop to say pretty good.
It was pretty good. And it blocked a lot of lanes, and they were out there for a while because I was listening on the radio. So
7th and which?
J Street.
7th and J, that's not a normal intersection.
I think
for
it had
you.
To do to just the visibility and issues because of the rain and the wind blowing. But as far as affecting the officers, I know that one affected them because I could hear them on the radio asking how long for that tow truck gets here because they were tired of
monitoring
standing
the
there in the rain. Yeah. So Yeah, and then, you know, when it's colder outside, we see people that leave their cars, you know, try to warm their cars up before they leave. They don't have the automatic key start, so they're holding the key. We have vehicle thefts that occur during that time. And then the warm weather, we have more people out and about. So not only, you know, our tourists come, you know, in town, our citizens are in town, out and about, but, you know, our other populations are also moving around more, and they tend to have more interactions. So I think we see more calls for service because things are visible and people are calling in what they're witnessing on the streets. So it increases some of our calls for service.
Well, and you get the daylight hours, too, being elongated as well. So,
yeah.
You know, I suppose people are out, just people are out more often.
Yeah. And anytime people are out, you're going to have more calls for service because things are going to happen. People are there to be witnesses, victims, and or
yeah, if the general falls on the kitchen floor, they're not calling EPD.
Yeah.
Right?
Generally. Unless it's Christmas or Thanksgiving, then sometimes that leads into a whole different issue we have to go deal with sometimes.
Oh, yeah, that's... Well, I suppose you've got fluctuations with the domestic violence stuff, too.
You do, yeah. We're coming out of probably our worst season of both domestic violence, mental health, and then the holidays alone, just because you're in the darker time of the year. You have the holidays, you have those issues that come along with some people in the holidays. It's been a very busy few months.
More than traditionally during this kind of this time of the year, or is this just the seasonal fluctuation that you guys run into?
It's the seasonal fluctuation you see at the holidays.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it's too bad there's nothing you could do to kind of advance, drain that emotion. I mean, if sunshine, I mean, there's you're not that good.
No.
Okay.
No, I wish. Yeah.
If so, you'd take on a whole different respect level from me.
Yeah, if so, I wouldn't have got soaking wet Saturday night. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have you been getting a lot of questions about Memphis and some of the other more recent activities that have been highlighted nationally?
Not really from the public. We haven't been answering a lot of questions, and we've been very proactive internally. Speaking with our troops that night that the video came out, the chief met with the two watches that we had on, and then the following day when the other ones came on to work, we met with them and just had ongoing conversations and just talked about it. I mean, I think that's the important thing for us is to see it out there, watch it, talk about it.
Oh, did you watch it?
Yeah.
I did. I won't. I just heard the descriptions and that's enough.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. So when something like that happens or is shared, I guess is probably that next level, do you guys go back to the training processes that you have and review them with that frame of reference as you go through? Or will you add a little bit of something? Just, you know, here's a situation we hadn't thought of, add to it and just kind of continue to narrow that gap?
I can tell you coming out of the Ferguson incident and with, you know, the on top of the...
That was St. George, Louis, right?
On top of George Floyd, I'm sorry, the George Floyd incident. When, you know, there was training issues in that was seen that is something that we noticed right away that it's not something necessarily we do, but the positioning and getting medical, getting off of them, you know, the asphyxiation issues... those are things we train, but those are things also we recognize every time we take somebody to the ground that we're using our body weight to help control them so we don't have to use physical force to get them into custody.
Right, physics.
Yeah, so just that reminder then next time we do defensive tactics training, and I see this every day we take somebody to the ground and give them handcuffs, somebody then is spinning them up on their left side real quick, checking on them. We do the high-risk search, make sure they don't have no weapons, and they get them up into a seated position. And anytime they complain of any type of breathing issues, we're calling for an ambulance right away to come to the scene. A lot of times, I mean, 99.9% of the time, they're just tired. They've been in a foot pursuit with the officers. They've been fighting with the officers. They sit there for a few minutes. They catch their breath, and then they refuse medical when they get there. But, you know, it's that mindset of what do we have to do to not only protect ourselves to get this person into custody, but then protect the in custody to get them to the jail and to the wherever we need to take them.
Sitting up is something that you do just so then they're not lying down?
Yeah, we do the recovery position first onto the left side while we do the high-risk search and then get them into a seated position and or standing and get them into a back seat of a patrol car so they're upright.
That left side thing sounds like how I'm supposed to get out of bed. Thanks for bringing that one up. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Assistant Police Chief Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. Winston just reminded me, yes, we're going to have the State of the Union tomorrow night. We just made that decision about 10 minutes ago. State of the Union tomorrow night, right here on KINS. Okay. That's about as news voicey as I get.
That's pretty good.
Hey, you like that one?
It's pretty good.
It only happens once a year.
State of the Union.
Yeah. Nice. what new toys are you looking forward to receiving? Is there anything out there on the horizon that you're looking forward to? Piece of gear that'll do this or something that'll do that?
No, we're kind of in a maintenance phase. So our next budget cycle, we're going to try to replace all our tasers. Body cameras are coming up again for replacement. So keeping the necessities that we have assigned to our officers, keeping them in the best working order with the newest generation or pieces that are out there. So
the newest, latest, greatest, do they do the same thing or do they have advancements also like we see in cell phones and laptops and other forms of technology?
Yeah, everything comes out with some new upgrade to it. So I'm not a taser instructor. I'm just helping sign off on the process.
You're just a receiver.
But they've gone up in price quite a bit, so I know there must be something new coming with them. The body cameras, yeah, they are constantly changing, adding new features, things we could do. You know, the sky is the limit. If you had an unlimited budget, you know, you could have car cameras that are tied into your body cameras. As soon as you turn on your overhead lights of your car, everything comes on automatically, so the officers don't have to worry about it.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very cool, but you're talking, you know, $9,000 a car between the body camera and all that. So it's consuming. Cloud storage gets to be very expensive.
How long do you have to hold on to the, I don't want to say movies, but
sure, the clips.
I'll say movies.
Yeah. So everything has to be held for a minimum of 2 years. So that's every recording has to be held for a minimum of 2 years.
Even things that don't result in even anything?
Anything. If we have a complaint that comes in based on an incident, so we have a use of force complaint, we have a major critical incident, those are kept pretty much forever. And then anything that's involved in a criminal case that has not been adjudicated has to be kept until the case is adjudicated.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah. I mean, we make copies and we send the DA's copies as soon as we send over the report, but we have to keep the original on our server on our cloud-based storage until the case is resolved.
We've experienced in the last week, a cyber attack, hack, I don't know what the current nomenclature is, that's somebody went after CBS and ABC. Okay. Probably had an attitude about something or another. I would think that a lot of your fan club has attitudes about police departments also. Have departments been subject to hacking or ransomware and things of that nature that really have caused problems in the past? Not EPD necessarily, but have you heard anecdotal stories?
I have not heard of police departments getting hacked to the level of, like, the ransomware stuff especially.
Or some of the evidence disappearing?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, our evidence is, like, our program is through WatchGuard, which is now a company, and Motorola, which is a Microsoft or It's a cloud-based storage program, so I have no control over it. So it's if that major company gets hit, then I lose.
Everybody.
Well, everybody, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of people that use that type of cloud storage. So that would be a significant issue because, like I said, we make copies immediately of all criminal cases. But all the other videos, they're only stored on the server or on the cloud base. So if that's gone, it's gone.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you just want to be sure that that doesn't happen to be the case, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
knock on some red wood.
Knock on plastic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good move. You didn't read that book, did you?
No.
See, this edge thing here is wood.
Oh, I gotcha.
All right.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's early, Brian.
Yeah. You know, there's a reason why we don't have a camera in here, too. Everybody, all the officers have the cameras now, right?
Yes.
What about in dispatch? Are there some departments that have them in there just to, you know, if somebody complains that they're, you know, somebody didn't take a call in a timely fashion or handled it wrong? I know that there used to be tapes, audio tapes. Is that pretty much cover that base?
Yeah, we don't want cameras in our dispatch centers. But we do record all incoming phone calls, all outgoing phone calls to our dispatch center, all their medical aids that they do. And like the medical aid portion is all reviewed by now a third party to make sure that they're given all medical instructions properly. All our calls, like I said, every time somebody calls 911, calls into our business line, calls into our non-emergency line, that's all recorded. So if there is a complaint,
I shouldn't be quite as creative in my phone messaging as I.
There was a record of that if you had been creative. So.
Oh, dandy.
So we do have the capability of going back and listening to interactions they have with the public and how they take calls for service if there is ever a complaint that needs to be addressed.
Do the investigators also have to have those cameras?
Our investigators, so our criminal investigators wear them anytime they're serving search warrants, probation searches.
Any kind of an interaction.
Interaction.
Could be nasty.
Yeah, and they do some interviews with them if they go out and meet somebody at their house or something like that, but they don't wear them on a daily basis because most of the time they're in the office. Our pop detectives, when we have them, they wear them all the time for all their interactions, and all our other special teams wear them all the time, CSET, Old Town.
That's why I was wondering with the mental health folks that write sometimes will be with you on a response. Do they also have to have one of those?
No, they won't. So, you know, the way the CARE program is going to work is if there's calls for service that the CARE members can handle on their own, they'll be dispatched to go handle those on their own. If there is a safety
really,
factor.
Really? Without?
Yeah. There are certain clients that we know get certain calls, and some of these clinicians have knowledge, experience with the clients. So either they'll have the client's person meet us there, or they'll go and handle it on their own. If there's any safety issues, then one of our CSET members will be with them, and the CSET member will obviously be running their body camera because it's that opportunity for something to go wrong. But yeah, so the CARE is kind of set up to, it's really a great program to divert as many calls for service away from police having to handle just mental health issues than what we're doing now. And more than just our CSET members trying to handle them, trying to get the CARE team out there, get them stabilized, and leave them to handle the call.
I'm not speechless. I'm stunned. Yeah, you know, with the mental health, I mean, if it's coming through somebody that you guys would normally be responding to, I don't know if I would ever feel comfortable having that person out there either by themselves without a gun or out there just, you know, with somebody else, but without having that protection.
Yeah, I don't know that it will happen very often, that we won't be there for some portion of it, but there will be calls where, let's say a client's clinician or caseworker calls in and says, hey, they're having a bad day, they need a welfare check on them, I'm with them, then that's where the CARE team can go out because they can do an analysis on them. They may be able to divert them to a service and never have to involve the police. But that's kind of a control.
But you wouldn't, the two of you wouldn't pull up in a squad car and you just stay out on the street and they go inside. And so
if we're going to go with them, we're going to go with them.
Okay.
Yes. If we're not going to go, then they handle it how they handle it. So we have our homeless outreach workers right now. Who go out into the camps and go out and make those connections on their own. try to hook people up with services, because that law enforcement piece isn't there. A lot of times they'll get a lot more cooperation, but they also know if they need us, we'll go with them. So it's all about building those relationships. If the hair on the back of your neck stands up, then we go with you.
So, don't hesitate.
Yeah. So.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:49. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Stevens from the Eureka Police Department. As mental health becomes more and more part of, I guess, civility and keeping community intact, do you see that there's going to be a lot of educational elements to that, as whether it's going through POST or a criminal justice degree somewhere, that either psychology or whatever this would fall under is going to become more and more part of the formal education of officers?
Yeah, I do believe so, and I think we've seen that and have seen it for quite a few years here. So we've had the crisis intervention training that all the officers go to once they're out of the academy. So that's 40 hours of training on how to deal with different issues, recognize and deal with different issues of people that are in crisis. So that's a huge component to our officers and their training. We do de-escalation training. De-escalation training is a part of the academy post requirements, and then we do it in-house. We teach de-escalation training not only to our officers but to civilian entities, because it's important. As you said, it's becoming a part of civility or our society as a whole, and our businesses and people that are in those public service type environments need to know and want to know, how do I best handle certain situations? How do I not have to inundate the police with every call for service? How can I handle some of these on my own? And then how do I recognize when this isn't the one I need to handle or can handle without endangering myself or others? So,
well, when your folks are out there, you don't want them to be blind to a situation or have to have 10 years under their belt before they can start to recognize things. So I would think that that would be all part of it, but it's different than the traditional model.
It is, and it's been impressive. I've been able to be out of my office for a little bit and involved in some incidents and watching some of our new officers de-escalate people after incidents and talk to them, and the way they address them, the way they talk to them, the softness in their approach, even after a foot pursuit. But they recognize that that's how you can calm people down, and they're trying to at least give them the opportunity to calm down and have a conversation and get the information they need from them. And it's good to see. It's refreshing. That's coming from our younger generation. I mean, they're learning things that the cops that have been here 10, 15 years now are having to learn and change. This was ingrained in them as they're now coming up. So that's how you see the change in the system, yes.
It would be interesting, because I know some of the things I have to do if I get a little torqued up. But those would not be things that you guys would ever feel comfortable. So some of the techniques that are used, it would be, I think, enlightening for a lot of us to find out, how do you do that so that then either we can incorporate it ourselves into our personal lives or into our business models or whatever it is, just if somebody just needs to go for a walk but not be allowed to go for a walk.
Yeah, I can definitely let you know when some of the de-escalation classes that we're doing.
Yeah, I'd be kind of, pop in for an hour or two and see.
Yeah, they're like 2 hours long.
Okay. Lunch provided? Okay, fine. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always.
See everybody tomorrow.